second who is called. Thank you all very much for agreeing to do this this call at this time. And let me also ask our facilitators. I didn't see on the I guess Brian Cute will be joining us at what, in roughly 30 minutes, or what part of this call will Brian Cute, the chair of the ATRT, be joining us?
That's foreseen for in about half an hour, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So I just wanted to procedurally understand where we were. We have 30 minutes to talk about how we wish to proceed as a group in terms of the overall objectives and to discuss the terms of reference if we wish, and also to move to the issue of discussing how we wish to elect a chair and a vice chair. Is everyone in concurrence that that's a suitable agenda for today? Are there any other items we should have, or would anyone like to propose changing the order of those items? If not, we'll proceed with agenda on that basis. So we were having a discussion about, you know, what success looks like. I think that was a healthy discussion, many different views shared by the parties. We also heard different views on what the scope of the group's work might be. And I think I'd like I don't think we need to come to one view of what a specific success looks like, but we will need to come up with sort of a terms of reference and work plan. Now, one thing we could do is, I know Kathy recently sent out the set of principles being used by the ATRT, and Kathy or someone else, do you want to help introduce that concept and perhaps how we bring that into this discussion?
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. There are a number of starting points that apparently the Accountability and Transparency Review Team did as initial steps, and one of them was principles of that would help guide their review. And Brian Cute, and I know he'll be here to answer questions and work with us further on this, Brian Cute said that this was very, very valuable for the team. And so I've sent them out the principles out. Also, the conflict of interest was very valuable. And he said that these were initial first steps that his group took. And I thought the principles were interesting. Not that we have to adopt anything, you know, word for word that the Accountability and Transparency Review Team did, but the principles were interesting, that recommendations will be fact-based, not based on impressions or personal opinions, that they'll be guided, in their case, by the case studies that they were working on. And I understand we'll see a report based on 3 case studies that they looked into in detail. And so many of their principles are based on the case studies and the analysis that they're going to do of the case studies based on their accountability and transparency mandate.
Heather Dryden joining the call.
Good morning, Heather. It's Rod. We're thrilled to have you on, and we're just in the second agenda topic discussing principles, terms of references, and how we might organize our efforts as a group.
Okay.
Please feel free to continue.
And Brian Cute has joined as well, Rod. Good morning.
Oh, good. Thank you, Brian. Thank you very much for coming and joining us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Actually, if I might, I'd like to turn over. This is Kathy, for all who just joined, Kathy Kleiman. Maybe we could ask Brian instead. Brian, I sent out the principles of the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, as well as the conflicts of interest policy. And Rod
Hello,
was just
Omar
asking.
Hello, Omar from Brazil, joining.
Hi, Omar.
Hello.
Kathy Kleiman, welcome.
Thank you.
Rod, would it be appropriate maybe to start with Brian instead?
Yes.
I was just about to summarize their work.
Yes.
I'll let you introduce Brian, but Brian, we were talking about the conflicts of interest policy and the principles, and I was just at the beginning of sharing your information, frankly.
Yes, I think that's an excellent idea. I mean, Brian, we're trying to determine how to best organize our efforts as a group and how to get started. And so we're going to have you in the latter part of the program. It's actually great you're on now, because I think you could contribute a lot to this discussion by telling us what you learned from your group that we might benefit from. So please do share.
Thanks, Rod, and thanks, Kathy. And I just want to echo what Kathy just said, which is I don't necessarily believe that anything we did should be viewed as kind of a cut-and-paste model for your team. The Accountability and Transparency Review team had its own unique set of issues and its own unique set of dynamics around those issues to address. So hopefully some of the things we did could be instructive and others might not, and I'll put them out there and allow you all to choose your way forward. What we felt was important, and I'll start at the very beginning. We felt the most important thing, and in fact the litmus test for us, would be whether our recommendations would be embraced by the entire community. And by that we mean the regular ICANN community in terms of active participants, by ICANN itself, and by the broader internet community. That is our litmus test. And what that leads to is a number of considerations, and the principles that Kathy just started to recite really are the guiding principles that are designed to produce work products that can be embraced by the entire community at the end of the process. What we recognized, which I'm sure you recognize, is that the affirmation of commitments has set up review teams that are populated by primarily insiders. And not just insiders, but in our case, the chairman of the board of ICANN and the assistant secretary of commerce. The construction of the review teams, including who is, could raise questions as to the work product. This is why we had established a conflict interest policy and submitted statements and tried to address that issue carefully throughout our work. That's why we adopted principles that Kathy was citing to. In addition to just the meat and potato terms of reference, methodologies, and how we would structure the substance of our work. So that to us was the litmus test. At a high level, concern from us that some could view the product of our team as being the product of insiders who had their own agendas, or that the product of our team could be viewed as being influenced by ICANN or unduly influenced by ICANN, with the chairman of the board participating. And recognizing those possible interpretations, we put a lot of emphasis on how we structured our work early on and how we addressed conflict of interest and principles. I'm not going to say we did a perfect job. At the end of our process, we're going to provide the community and the ICANN board with our own reflections on how our process has been run and how we ordered our business. There are things we did, I think, very well. There are things I wish we could do over. But that, at a high level, was our starting point and what informed our thinking. And I'll leave it there for you.
Brian, sorry to butt in. It's Emily Taylor here.
Yes, Emily.
Hi, Brian. Could you just expand on the last point? I'm not asking you to give a representative view on behalf of the whole team, but from your personal point of view, I think it would be really helpful for this team to understand what you would do differently, as well as what has worked. I mean, what you've set out is extremely helpful, and I think should be we can learn an awful lot from those principles, particularly about the acceptability of the final product, not just to insiders, but to everybody, and discipline about conflicts. But if I could just ask you to share any observations about what you would do differently personally.
Brian, are you still on, or did we lose Brian?
I think I frightened him away.
I think your wonderful and soothing voice might have just put him to sleep.
Thank you.
Not through any lack of intellectual vigor, but it is indeed soothing. I think you should have a national radio spot soon. Let's see, Brian, are you back on, or is that maybe Wilfred on a train through the Austrian Alps? No?
Is there noise? Is there noise on my line?
I'm not sure whose line. I heard it sounded like a traffic or a train moving. Who knows? It's all good. Thank you.
Because the conference won't allow me any longer to use the mute function.
Okay, sure. Well, let's wait for Brian to come back on. Alice, if you or maybe someone can try to ping him as well. I'm sure he's trying to get back in. Maybe his battery died.
Rod, while he's gone, can I ask a question?
Please.
Which is, did everyone get a copy of the principles and conflict of interest that I tried to circulate last night and today?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Actually, while Brian's not on, why don't we go back to just stepping through those for a moment, just to see what they had come up with, Kathy?
Okay.
And then we could also be thinking about other questions we want for Brian and the specific work we want to get done on the call today in this area. Back to you, Kathy.
Okay. What struck me, I'm going to move over to the conflicts of interest policy because I was struck really by the first two provisions there. And I hadn't seen it laid out. Actually, I understand that the Accountability and Transparency Review Team adopted the ICANN Board Conflict of Interest Policy, which I hadn't reviewed closely until yesterday. And it's great. I really like the first two principles, particularly the ones about somewhat distancing your interests from what you're reviewing. And I think that was useful. So I'll just focus in on Section 1.1. The purpose of the conflicts of interest policy is to ensure the integrity and independence of the Accountability and Transparency Review Team and to ensure that the deliberations, decisions, and work products of the RT are objective, fair, and made in the interests of the global Internet community as a whole. I thought that was pretty powerful. And then Section 1.2, no member of the RT nor any person engaged by or on behalf of the RT to provide services to the RT may use his or her position with respect to the RT or confidential corporate information obtained by him or her relating to ICANN in order to achieve a financial benefit for himself or herself or for a third party, including another nonprofit or charitable organization. And according to Brian, these were not only adopted but really embraced by his review team, and so I wanted to share them with us. I thought it was a great starting point that they had and would be useful for us to think about as well.
And, you know, can someone – I don't have that explicit link on our board conflict of interest principles, and I don't think all the language is in the email you sent. Can someone just – perhaps send that link out to the group, because that might also be a nice thing for us to either agree on today or softly put down as a possible conflict of interest guidelines. Then at least we don't have to develop it from scratch.
It's Emily here. I'd just like to endorse Kathy's comments. I think that a conflicts of interest policy is vitally important to the success of these teams. And another idea that flows from it, I think the two principles you mentioned are spot on, but the other thing I wanted to explore with the other members of the team are, to what extent do we view ourselves as representing the constituencies who put us forward, or rather what I would see us as doing is that we're here to serve the community as a whole, and I think that this fits in with the concept of declaring conflicts and of actually serving trying to accomplish what the AOC asked us to do, and part of that means putting aside those individual sort of representative type of feelings that we might have, and I just wanted to hear other views on that and whether I'm off the mark there.
This is Lynn Goodenthorpe. I agree with you, and I think that was very well said.
This is Brian Cute rejoining. I apologize. I dropped off somewhere.
Well, welcome back, Brian. We're very glad to have you. Let's continue this discussion around the conflict of interest policy for just a moment if others have comments, and then we'll bring it back to Brian. Any other comments following Emily's and Kathy's comments and Sharon's on the conflict of interest policy of the ICANN board?
This is Sue. Emily, I understand your comment. I'm a little concerned because we are representing, you know, the I'm representing the CSG. So there is a definite viewpoint. I think our responsibility, I agree that our responsibility should benefit the whole internet community. And I think the CSG does that to a certain extent, but I don't think that I can leave all of the viewpoints behind from where and where we all come from individually, and in my participation. I would hate to see that as one of the principles. I think all of our experiences on any side of the globe are important, and that we should bring those to this team.
This is Lynn. I would like to just say that I think this is where the value of our statements of interest come into play, because I think that transparency, where we've all had to be open about what our affiliations are and our background, and if we're representing someone, that transparency, I feel like, reinforces the integrity so that there's no hidden agendas or hidden motivations here, that it's all very open. So I see that as compatible, and I would acknowledge that we do have people on the team with different perspectives and viewpoints.
But that's a good part of it, too. I mean, I think that's what makes this team valuable, is that we can listen to each other and really see different points of view.
James, I just wanted to chime in that I do see a distinction between contributing experiences, perspectives, and expertise versus actually representing the interests of the GNSOs or registrars or contracted parties. So I don't see a problem with that under this conflict of interest policy.
This is Bill Smith. As I read the ATRT conflict of interest policy, as best I can tell, the only possibility for a conflict of interest, as defined by a potential conflict, means a direct or indirect financial interest in a transaction, dispute, contract, et cetera, with ICANN. There is no other way to have a conflict of interest, according to this policy.
So I guess, Bill, if that's what the policy says, that would mean that somebody that has a contract with ICANN, such as a registry or a registrar or a registrant, for example, would have a conflict, but other parties that might be representing or concerned about the views of certain groups might not? Or can you help me interpret that?
I'd need a legal opinion on it. But
Can I just come in on that? It's Emily. I think that what you're saying is undoubtedly correct. I think that if we try to get to a more purposive type idea, so that, you know, this is the somebody in a different ICANN context called the whole concept of conflicts of interest as the red face test. In other words, is there something that if somebody else brought out in the group, you would feel embarrassed about not having said first? And that, to me, is wider than the strict kind of financial tests, which are much more black letter, if you like, that you have a yes-no binary answer. The whole concept of conflicts is, to my mind, a lot more grey, but that it requires... I completely agree with the points made by Lynn and by James that this is about transparency and integrity. So it is sort of would holding it back. Usually when people declare interest, it's a great big non-event and nobody minds, but they really mind if they haven't been declared. And inevitably, taking up Brian's opening remarks, we are all to some extent insiders here. It is inevitable that we will have activities or interests which are in the ICANN arena, and I think it's just important to be upfront about them. That's how I would read it.
This is Bill again. If we're doing the red face test and following this policy, then basically in Section 2, the disinterested parties will go off and determine whether the person with the potential conflict, in fact, has one, and the decision is final. It can't be challenged. So if we are making it extremely broad, then I or any of us may have a reasonable need to disclose a potential conflict, and then completely outside of our ability to influence, a decision is made and it cannot be challenged.
Team, if I can make a possible recommendation, I have tried to contact John Jeffrey, Amy Stathos on our legal counsel, just because I'm in the building and we could always get a legal opinion on how to read this. And alternatively, I'd propose that perhaps we defer this to the next call, and I can have legal counsel lined up. But I just think since we have Brian Cute on the phone with all of his experience from the ATRT group, it might be good to return to the broader conversation and come back to conflict of interest statements later. Is anyone opposed to moving back to Brian and the broader set of issues?
That sounds like a good idea.
Okay. Let's do that. Brian, I'd like to hand it back to you in the sense of, let's assume that this is our last chance to get your precious time. We're embarking on a new review effort. You've got tremendous expertise, and all the things that your group learned, and I'm sure you would do different things differently the next time. If you can please just give us some structured, some advice on how we might proceed in the set of decisions to make to be most productive based on your experience, I think we'd really appreciate it.
Thanks, Rod. And could you just tell me where I dropped off in my exegesis that was actually incisive but to a dead phone?
I think you just start again from the beginning, Brian, would be good.
Okay, I will. So I think let me just start off again. For us, the litmus test was, would our work product be embraced by the community? And that it means the regular ICANN participants, it means ICANN itself, it means the broader internet community. That was the most important thing to us. And so in framing that as our litmus test, all of these considerations come into play, conflicts of interest. But let's start with the affirmation of commitments dictates that these teams be constructed as they are. So they are populated by insiders, and that's a factor to consider. In our case, we had the chairman of the board of ICANN on our team. We had the assistant secretary of commerce on our team. So this is kind of imposed on you by the AOC, and there's not much you can do to change the Constitution. That being said, you move and develop a conflicts of interest policy. We've had some discussion there. You've seen what we've done. What I'll say just in listening to this brief conversation is two considerations, and you've already touched on them. One, what's your policy going to be? Doesn't have to be the one we used. What is the policy? How does it apply? Secondly, we did have conversations about the appearance of conflict and that a recognition that the community may hold you to a higher standard and having an awareness of that. Now, how you apply your policy to the letter of the policy and what decisions you make factoring in an appearance of conflict standard is up to you. We had a member of our team decide to step down mid-process because of a professional engagement she undertook, which created discussion around this area that she felt would be better for the team if she were to step down. So we put it into action. We all have made our conflict of interest statements, but we put it into action. I would say policy number one, other considerations number two, and then just be vigilant about putting it into practice. That being said, we were cautious of two possible outcomes, perceptions on the one hand, that our work product might be viewed as the work of insiders, some of whom had access to Grind and could effectively be perceived as being the product of those motivations. That's the one scenario we hope to avoid. The other scenario we hope to avoid is possibly a product of an inside whitewash job, which we'd heard. So with, you know, the ICANN chair participating on the committee and interactions with ICANN being carefully watched by the community, that was another possible perception scenario we wanted to avoid. So we felt at the outset that the autonomy of our team was essential, and how we put that autonomy into practice was essential. And so we looked at the staff paper drafted by Marco Lorenzetti back in December, I believe, last year, which had a proposed roadmap as to how the review teams could be structured, populated, what the budget could possibly be. There was a straw man budget in there. We looked at it as a team. We took a lot of good out of that, but we did not endorse it. We did not accept it. We decided as a team that we were going to start from a blank page. We were going to establish our operating our guiding principles. We were going to establish our conflict of interest policy. We were going to establish our terms of reference and methodologies. That's what we've done, and I'm happy to provide, you know, the documentation and any other, after this call, if there's any other questions, I'm more than happy to provide what our thinking was. But that's what we did. The one thing I would do over is have a conversation with ICANN's board about the budget prior to the point that we did. We determined, again, guided by this notion of autonomy, that it was important for our team to have an independent expert providing us research and analysis and recommendations in parallel to the work that our team did. We built our own RFP. We published it. We got responses. We had a process where the candidates came in and presented to us in Brussels. We created our own selection criteria. We selected a winner. And at that point in time, we had a proposal and a budget that included some travel support for a few members of the team. But we didn't have a hard discussion with ICANN's board about the budget until post-Brussels. And from a timing perspective, if I could wind back the clock, that's probably the one issue that I would wind back and have that discussion back in the April timeframe when we started. So that's one observation about something to do differently. But I'll pause there and ask if there's any questions or reactions. Or did my line drop again?
No, you're on. We're all just stunned by your brilliance.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Brian. That's really useful from my point of view. Very helpful to have you here telling us about what's worked and what hasn't. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So,
and I'm
Brian,
happy to hang around.
Brian, let me make sure I understood your last point. I think would part of your recommendation be that we maybe spend more time up front just going over each other's statements of interest and understanding them and what that might mean for the group, or how would you operationalize what you're wishing the group had done?
Well, on the conflicts of interest statement, that's something that we did in our first meeting in Marina Del Rey, and we all put our conflicts of interest statements forward and reviewed them. That was just, you know, order of business, something we did as a matter of course. How your team sets the bar and how it applies the bar that it sets is really up to you. But that was first order of business at our first face-to-face meeting. Oh, and
okay.
If I can, Rod, just expand there too. The other thing I would do differently, because the meeting just triggered that thought, Rod, was in terms of structuring our face-to-face meetings, and let me say that face-to-face meetings are and were critical to advancing the substantive work at key points in the process. But we started out putting on the calendar face-to-face meetings, and we started out with an assumption, because we were trying to be sensitive to the community, that we take almost an ICANN approach to face-to-face meetings, that we be regionally representative, that we interact with the local community, make these meetings open. And we put on the calendar a series of face-to-face meetings where we tried to go to every region. Frankly, when it came to the work, number one, and when it came to interacting with the local community, number two, I think we missed the mark there. And it also would have added considerably to the budget that we had. We ended up scaling back. We ended up having a meeting in Marina Del Rey at the outset, which we thought was a very important thing to do in terms of interacting with the ICANN, with ICANN at the outset of the process. We had our last meeting in Boston with the Berkman Center and Harvard to really do our final push of work on the draft proposed recommendations with our independent expert. So from a practical standpoint, I would say those two meetings were very critical and far more important than running around the globe and trying to have, as much as it's an aspiration for the ICANN community and ICANN, having a representative face-to-face meeting in every region really just didn't make sense in hindsight and wasn't feasible and was too costly in hindsight. So that's the other thing I do different.
Thank you, Brian. Questions?
As Olaf here, perhaps it deserves to be mentioned that you used the term, Brian, independent expert, in another sense than we use it in the WHOIS and SSR review teams, where independent experts are not external consultants, which are paid for, but so there's a, just to remove any risk for misunderstandings here.
Thank you all.
Another question I have for you, Brian, is, I mean, I think this feedback is incredibly useful, and it might be interesting to know if there might even be other volunteers from the ATRT who might be willing to join us from time to time on calls if the group wishes. I could see huge value for some shadowing for some number of the first calls and meetings. I leave that to the discretion of the group, but I think that might add considerable value to what we're attempting to do in our productivity.
With the caveat, I would certainly want to leave the WHOIS team to its complete autonomy of decision-making. More than happy to be a resource, more than happy to ask ATRT members if they're willing to act in that capacity. And let's not forget James Bladel, who was supporting Warren Edelman from GoDaddy, who was the member of the review team. James went right through the exercise with us and has lots of great insights as well. He's on your team.
Thank you.
But certainly wouldn't presume to speak for the ATRT as I wasn't a full member, so just with that qualification in mind.
Good. Well, it's
probably a lot of
James. I'm sorry, Kathy, please.
But probably a lot of lessons learned, James, that you can definitely share with us. And I think you've already started in some of the email.
Yeah, certainly from Boston, right, Brian?
Indeed.
Okay, I would like to propose
Could I ask Brian a question, Rod?
Please.
Would that be okay? First, at some point, probably not now, it would be very interesting to hear about the Harvard Berkman Center and the support they provided you, not just as experts, but as interviewers, as data collectors, as data researchers, as somebody conducting an outside review in parallel to the insiders type review, that ability to have the outsiders come in and the insiders and almost do in technology terms, it's kind of a parallel entry going on and that creates a check at the end. I think the team at some point, but probably not today, would love to hear more about that because it's a fascinating process. But here's my question for you, Brian. You came in the middle of a discussion about the conflicts of interest, and I had a question of how you would address whether the conflicts of interest policy of the Accountability and Transparency Review Team you saw as a narrowly tailored one or kind of a document with a spirit in it as well. And let me phrase that. You came in as the representative to the team as you were the representative from the registry stakeholder group. And
right.
Did you see it as – and then you were elected chair, which adds another layer also of responsibility and accountability. But did you see yourself – chair aside, did you see yourself as representing the registries or representing the Internet community as a whole?
Well, I think the true answer is both, and I did try to wear both of those hats, if you will. I had to be objective. We all had to be objective
in doing this work, then this is particularly critical and really central questions in the ICANN community and in ICANN about the ICANN that we are all invested in, that we all want to see improve and continue on. Objectivity was critical. So I felt as though I wore both hats. I can tell you as a practical matter, I never received instruction one from the registry stakeholder group. My name was put forward. I would report back on our biweekly calls, the status of things in the ATRT. I might call out an issue that might be of particular interest to the registries as a group, but I did not receive explicit or implicit direction. And so while I was there in a representative capacity, I wasn't acting on an agenda that had been handed to me.
Team, I'd like to spend a maximum of 5 more minutes with Brian. This is invaluable. I would love to have him back, but you have tasked me with driving us through the agenda to move towards the chair and vice chair election and other processes. So if we can spend a few more minutes, last questions with Brian, then I think we need to move on with that agenda and then perhaps come back to Brian or another ATR team member in the future. So final questions, please.
Brian, this is Lynn Goodendorf. In your principles, I particularly like the approach of being fact-based. In our case, I don't think we have, something as straightforward as cases, but generally as a concept, I think we could adapt that and say that we're going to work from facts as far as making our decisions. Do you have any further insights you could share with us about that?
Other than, it's never a bad thing to operate on a basis of facts. It's always a good thing. But we also were mirroring what is in the affirmation of commitments, which, asked the ICANN board when making decisions to make fact-based decisions. So we felt it was more than appropriate for us as a review team to adopt that same explicit standard, no more, no less.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Great. Brian, I want to thank you very much. First, for your incredible efforts in leading the ATRT, which has blazed the path for, all future review teams, and for taking time to join us today. And I think we may very well be inviting you and or your other colleagues back and might enjoy sitting down with you in Cartagena as well, which will be our first face-to-face meeting if you're there for some further question and insights. Thank you very much, Brian.
Thanks, Rod. At your disposal. Thanks, everyone.
Great.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Also, for the group, I want to mention I asked our general counsel, John Jeffrey, to come in, who just joined. Yet, I think we should not go into a discussion of the conflicts of policy, a conflict of interest policy of the ICANN board at this time. I'm going to propose that we possibly review that in the future. Now that people have the document, so I'll probably ask John to leave, unless. Do we have other critical questions for general counsel that might be helpful? Does anyone have a question for John? Otherwise, I'll ask him to step out. Okay. Thank you, John, for stopping by. So I would like to make a proposal, if I may, for consideration on the principals group. I would propose that we have a small working team of two or three people to try to draft the principals or take either starting with the ATRT or starting new, draft some proposed principals for the group's review at the next meeting, and including in that would be, for example, the proposal to adopt the ICANN conflict of interest policy or some other policy. Does that sound like a suitable method? And if so, are there any volunteers to take on that drafting effort to come back to the group, such as Bill? Bill, you seem to have a lot of very good thoughts here, detailed thoughts. Kathy, you seem very engaged. Would the two of you and perhaps some others be willing to work on a draft of principles for the group for us to consider at our next call?
I would be happy.
This is Emily. I'd be happy to help out as well.
Okay.
This is Susan. I would like to join that team too.
Great. Bill, would you be interested in joining that team?
I'm interested, but it will depend on when the next meeting is, because I have some travel plans.
Okay, you'll be a contingent member depending upon timing of the next meeting, which will also come back to scheduling. Okay, so that group that I understand we've agreed to is Kathy Kleiman, Emily Taylor, Bill Smith, and Susan Kawaguchi. So thank you very much for volunteering. I want to mention budget briefly. We had a board meeting last night. We had a discussion about budgets for the groups, and the staff has prepared an indicative budget for the group that we'll email out to you, which basically covers the operational expenses of the group, assuming three face-to-face meetings around the world, the size of the current group, and some other information. That approximate number is about $200,000. So what I propose on budget is that we send that proposed document to the group and that could be considered at the next meeting. I also would like to mention that I will be appointing Michael Yakushev from Russia, from Digital Sky Technologies, as my designate on the group. And I would like to ask the group's permission, or we can discuss at the next meeting, I'd like to have him shadow me for a couple of calls, if that's okay, and then phase in and take over the seat that had been assigned to me as CEO. So I mentioned that now. I'll and I can get feedback on the shadowing now or on the next call, if you wish.
Rod, this is Heather, if I may.
Yes.
I thought, since you've mentioned that you're going to be designating someone to the review team ultimately, this is also what I'm hoping to do as GAC chair. I have not yet received confirmation that someone is willing to be designated on behalf of the GAC chair, as is provided for in the affirmation of commitments. So I do hope to have a decision or news very soon, and will communicate that as soon as I have it. In the meantime, I will participate, and I do want to emphasize that WHOIS issues are a considerable priority for governments, and so this review team is of considerable interest. And so either via myself or, as I say, hopefully a designee, we will be actively participating and following developments within the review team. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you so much for that, Heather. We know what a tremendous set of responsibilities you have running the GAC already, so we really appreciate your joining these calls as you can, and also look forward to meeting your designate if and when you appoint them. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to move to election of the chair and vice chair. And I would like to ask, you know, I can propose a couple of models here. We could simply do a discussion, or have candidates that are interested express why they're interested. We could do an email vote. I could take a survey votes, or have Alice or Olaf do that and keep me out of the loop. How would we, as a group, like to move forward on the election issue? Any feedback?
Yeah, this is Bill Smith. I propose an alternate model to an immediate election, and that is to discuss our scope and at least some parts of our terms of reference initially, to see, get a better understanding of how we work together, what individuals' perspectives are, and what we as a group think the work is. So I am in favor of proceeding in that manner.
Okay, that's another proposal, and thank you, Bill, for bringing that up again. You also had actually articulated that in an email, and thank you very much for bringing that back up for the group. Other comments?
It's Sharon Lemon here from the UK. Whatever method it is, being email or doing it now, I would like to do it as quickly as possible. I think we need somebody to lead this project, get it moving, and get on with the business in hand, and not get dragged down by process. I fully understand we have to have a process, but I'll be a lot happier with a chair and a vice chair, and we can take it away from you, Rod, because obviously this is on top of your day job, and you want us to get on with it. So that would be my view.
Sure. And I appreciate that, Sharon. I really do. So let me make an observation and a straw man proposal based on this various input, since we have only about 10 minutes left and might have some other items to cover. The first is, I would say, if I can also ask the group that's going to work on principles to also work on scoping, if you can have a scoping proposal. I mean, we've got that good language in the affirmation itself to start with, and it seems like that's a healthy dialogue, and we've already had some emails moving around on the topic of scoping. Is everyone comfortable with having that group start the scoping effort to see if we can get a quick draft together? How does that sound?
Sounds workable to me.
Yes, I think that sounds good. I think it would be helpful to know if there's anyone else that has an interest in being a chair or vice chair. In our emails, we've had two people who are willing to accept chair and vice chair, but I wondered if there's anyone else that has an interest.
I am not aware of others. Do we have any other candidates that would like to express an interest now?
This is Bill Smith. I would be potentially interested, but it depends on the scope of the group.
Here is Omar. I wish I could, but I had my arm broken, so I can't type.
Oh, very sorry to hear about that, Omar.
Sorry. I fell from my bike, from my motorbike.
Ouch.
Oh, wow.
Rod,
this
please.
Is Susan.
Yes.
Can I just make a comment?
Please.
One of my concerns is that, I congratulate Kathy for being willing to do this job. I think it's a huge job, but I do think, to be fair to Kathy,
I agree.
And to Emily, is that we set some expectations of the chair. Maybe we have expectations that aren't reasonable. So in this principles, if we draft the principles and include some expectations of the chair, then they would both have a better idea what the job is.
Another good suggestion, and a little if that group's willing to take that on.
Are we talking about a fourth item then? The principles, the conflict of interest, the scoping language, and a job description for the chair and vice chair. We might want a bigger group.
Well, Sharon Lemon, I think, sent an email. I think it was her, where she had some bullet points about, what typically we all expect of a chair, and that resonated with me. It certainly fit my expectations, and I would say that I'm flexible too, in that if the needs of the group required that chair to be something else, I certainly would be flexible. I think this is a in what we expect of Kathy, and I think this is a benefit of having Emily as a vice chair, that Kathy would have the latitude to delegate some of the duties to Emily.
Sure. Is this Lynn speaking?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yeah,
no,
Lynn Goodendorf.
That's fine. I'm just learning. I'm learning all the voices. Lynn, can I please ask you to work with Sharon to take on that drafting exercise, to maybe take her document and massage it a bit and bring it back to the group before the next call? And Bill, if you feel strongly on the chair, vice chair roles, would you like to join that? Or are you comfortable with those two taking the lead? Or is there anyone else who'd like to join that effort?
I'm comfortable, provided they go with, I think that Kathy actually put out a list that came from Brian Cute.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
right.
Shannon Levin here. Yeah, it wasn't me. It was Kathy who copied Brian's notes. My comment was that we should all, with our experience, be able to know what's expected of a chair.
But I think Lynn also put something out as well. Lynn, did you put out some bullet points?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Actually,
yeah,
I think that was me.
I think it was Kathy. I apologize. I think it was Kathy's email where she just listed the, you know, the typical expectations of a chair.
That was Susan.
Well. Yeah.
Good.
Good.
Oh, Susan.
So,
yeah.
Sorry, Susan. Okay. Please forgive me coming in. I'm going to try to just do my best to serve you as a facilitator and chair to keep on schedule. We have two work groups. They're going to come up with drafts. The second one is simply going to work on the chair, vice chair roles. You might also want to think about the fact the ATRT broke down into different working groups on different areas, so that might be an evolution on the team, but you don't have to address that. I just provide that as background. I think it sounds like we're not ready to have a vote on the chair, vice chair today, so my proposal is going to be for an agenda in the next meeting, we go over our statements of interest and maybe verbally share those with one another. I know they're published, or we simply assent. We often do it at ICANN board meetings with 10 seconds each where we remind people what the conflicts of interest could be. I suggest we then go into reviewing those two documents, proposed drafts, and then if there's agreement on that, we could choose to electing a chair and vice chair at the next meeting. I request that anyone else interested in the positions please submit their names to Olaf and Alice. And we need to have another call. So the question is, do we wish to have another call in 1 week, or do we want to do it 2 weeks from now? And this is entirely up to the discretion of the group. Maybe we quickly go around, mention your name, and whether you'd like to have it next week or the following week.
Can I just say quickly, Sharon Lippman here, I've got to go and get my plane, but put me down for any work group, and I'll be up for any call when you have it. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you.
Sharon,
thanks.
Thank you.
Look here, I propose a two-week gap now for the next conference call.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is Emily. I propose 2 weeks, particularly given the work items that we've all allocated. I think it'll take a little while to coordinate those. Could I also just make a request? Because I think that while I agree with Bill that it's important to get down into the detail of what exactly we're going to be doing, I do think that we have a reasonable understanding of what the AOC has asked this group to do. And so, Bill, my request to you is if you think that you might be interested in the role of chair, it would be really helpful if you could put your name forward. And so then people within the group can reflect on that. So that would be my request.
Thank you, Emily. Susan, Wilfried, Lynn, Kathy, or someone else, a vote on, are we in all agreement 2 weeks out? Let me do this. Let's propose the next call be in 2 weeks. Is there anyone who has who thinks it should not be in 2 weeks?
Omar here, 2 weeks. I agree with 2 weeks.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll wait 2 weeks, but I actually think we should be doing this weekly. Because I believe we have substantive issues to discuss. As evidenced by the fact that we didn't discuss any of them today.
Let me make another question for the group. So we have one vote for in 1 week. The rest seem to be favoring 2 weeks. Another alternative is to schedule 90 minutes in 2 weeks, so we have more time for the call, because there is a lot of things to go over. How do people feel about 90 minutes? Any strong opinions for and against?
Strongly in favor, Bill.
I'm in favor of that because I'm eager for us to get going too, and I would be available for a call next week. But if the majority of the group has a constraint with that, then you know I'm agreeable to 2 weeks. But I think extending the time of the call would be a good solution.
It sounds like we're drifting towards a soft consensus on a call in 2 weeks for 90 minutes. Now, let me also make one other proposal. We could extend it to 120 minutes. I'm not advocating this. I'm putting it out quickly to see if anyone thinks we should move towards 120 minutes in 2 weeks, two-hour call. Or is 90 minutes right?
I can do 120, but it may be difficult for us to keep everybody on then.
A good point.
Emily, I would prefer 90 minutes. I think that going out to 2 hours is just going to lose momentum from my perspective.
Sure. Okay. So I feel we're at a consensus on a call in 2 weeks at 90 minutes, unless anyone else has a strong opinion otherwise.
No, but Rod, okay. I have an addition to something else, if I might. This is Kathy.
Okay. Please, Kathy, go ahead.
There are people missing from the call today, and there are others who may want to volunteer for the groups, the small groups that have just been formed, and I'd like to ensure that we can invite Olivier or Kim Von Arx or others if they want to join us on one of these two groups, if they have strong feelings that opportunity should be made available to them as well.
I think it's an excellent idea, and if I could ask you to please send that email inviting them to join either your group or the other, I would appreciate that.
Will do. Alice, perhaps you can let me know the emails of everyone who's not on the call right now.
Okay. Or actually, Kathy, I shouldn't drop that on your lap. Kathy, if you can draft the email you propose, Alice can send it out.
Thank you so much.
Can I suggest that note just go to the list?
Okay, fine. So we can set up the whole. We can, in fact, perhaps Alice, you can summarize these, decisions that we've come up with as a group, and these early teams. So just have some one page minute or two page minutes from this call, and have that go out to the group with an invitation for self nominations for chair, vice chair, and also to invite members to join those two working groups. I would furthermore state we could also consider having two vice chairs if we wished, or three, which we can discuss again when we meet. I'm sorry?
No, I'm just commenting. Three vice chairs, whoa.
I've been on boards with three vice chairs. But anyway, I'm not proposing we go that direction. I think we have worked through our outline today. I think that we have, assigned this task on, scoping principles, conflicts, chair, vice chair roles out to these groups, which is very much appreciated. And we're on the hour. Are there any other issues that we need to cover? Or I propose that we've had a very good and productive meeting, and we'll have a 90-minute in 2 weeks. Any last comments?
This is Olaf. We have an urgent practical matter, and that is that we need to do some preparations for Cartagena. So what I suggest is that we, from staff side, make a straw man proposal to a list of presumed activities so we can start booking what we need to book in Cartagena.
That sounds good to me, and then we can discuss your proposal on that call in 2 weeks. If that's okay with the group, I'll assume it is, unless we have an objection.
Rob, this is Phil Smith. I think one other thing we need to think about individually or as a group is how we, in fact, will select the chair and vice chair. All right, we have no mechanisms to do that.
I hope that's a great, great point, Bill, and it might be useful if you could help introduce that into the document on that group that you're participating in, that the group could propose not only the roles for the chair and vice chair, but the election methodology.
Well, and other things like, do we allow absentee ballots? Do we allow proxies? These things actually are important.
Good.
So
I'm glad we broke into two working groups then, so that one can really focus on these topics to the extent you and the other members wish. That would be a great, I think, contribution to the team, Bill. I really appreciate your focusing on these precise process and structural details that can really have a big payoff later.
Wait a second. Which group is being assigned the processes? Just wanted to double check.
It would seem to go with
the chair vice chair group.
Yeah, the chair vice chair group.
Yes, and I'm putting myself. I interpreted that I'm on that group, so I've made a note of that.
Thank you.
I think Sharon had to drop off, and I think she's going to participate in that too.
Super. Thank you very much. Thank you. I think you should take a broad mandate on chair, vice chair, and the coordination of the group. You can take that broadly and put a draft together. Because again, you're simply doing a service to the the overall group by proposing things for our consideration.
Okay.
Excellent. I want to thank you all very much. I feel this has been a really productive call. We've got some work teams moving. We've learned from Brian Cute. Are there any other last coordination points, or we can bring this to a close? All right. With that, we're done. Thank you all very, very much. We'll then start working on scheduling that meeting in 2 weeks. And thank you very much to all concerned.
Thanks.
Rod, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. This time you may disconnect.